I was reading the bit in the Gospels where it says, you know, Jesus often slipped away to lonely places to pray.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be here, it doesn't need to be wildness at all, but that habit, that rhythm of retreat is so important, I think, because otherwise we're so easily caught up in a kind of unconsidered momentum. I guess I'm convinced in terms of the church in Scotland, we need to learn to listen again.
Yeah.
We need to get into that rhythm of listening and acting out of that listening.
Yeah.
Being confident that this is what God's asked us to do rather than just doing what we've always done.
So, Sanctuary First Goes Walkabout. Here we are at Kilmaloo with Steve Aisthorpe, who I'm sure you remember was one of our panel in Emerging Emmaus, pioneering Emerging Emmaus. And we were sorely disappointed when Steve had to step out. But you're back, Steve, and I've really had a wonderful week here on retreat with you, and you and Liz have been so hospitable, and we're now wanting to find out, why did you leave Emerging Emmaus? Why? Why did you leave the Church of Scotland? Why?
Well, yes, I left a job that I really loved, and I left a village where I'd lived a long time and I got a lot of friends. And last September came here to Kilmaloo because, in short, I went on a retreat myself some months ago and found that God challenged me during that time that I'd become rather comfortable and a bit cautious. And I realised I needed to step away from my job, which was so wonderful, but all the same, yeah, I needed to step out. I had no idea what we're going to do next, but this was the answer some months later.
And the culture that you had grown into in Christianity and faith was one of adventure, one of stepping out in faith, and you felt you were just things were too easy. Really?
Yeah, I felt I was in danger of becoming a bit of a fraud because my job in the Church of Scotland was to encourage people to take risks, to experiment, to be pioneers, and yet I had to. I was confronted with the fact that actually I'd become a bit cozy myself.
Yeah. Well, I'm trusting you here. Are we going through this gate?
Yeah, we are. So let's go through here. And
good stuff. We are on the outskirts. We've just come from your home, which has a magnificent view of the mountains, and we're stepping across the river.
Yeah, so I thought we could just walk down through the woods here below the main house here at Kilmaloo, and it's fantastic woodland there. It's really ancient mix of mainly hazel and alder trees, and it's just full of the most incredible mosses and lichens and liverworts. It's a little fragment of the Atlantic rainforest here.
Okay.
And we're really privileged to have it on the doorstep.
So you love nature, so you're very much at home here.
Yeah, I do love nature, but more than that, I think for me, in my Christian life, it's often within the context of nature and exploring outdoors that I seem to relate to God most easily.
You
know, when I look back through my life, the times that have become kind of junctions in my life, turning points, it's often been in the context of the great outdoors.
Yes. So you stepped out of your comfort and cautious living into a place where you didn't know what you were going to do next. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So actually, my wife and I, on the back of that retreat I mentioned, decided we'd both pack up our jobs and we would take some time to pray, to reflect, to talk to people, to explore possibilities. And over a period of, I don't know, 3 or 4 months probably, we looked at various opportunities, possibilities, and this was one of them. And to be honest, as I was sharing with you a little earlier, Neil, it didn't leap out at us to start with.
So yeah,
we came here for a visit and we went to bed after the first day here, and we both absolutely of one heart that there's no way we were coming here.
Yeah.
But then woke up in the early hours thinking, oh no, actually this could be amazing. Yeah, maybe we should think again. So it wasn't love at first sight.
No, but you slept on it.
We slept on it, and yeah, certainly over a few weeks of further praying, discussion, visiting and what have you, we became convinced we should be coming here.
Okay. So you're here, you've been here for how long now?
So we came here end of September last year.
Yeah.
So what's that? Is that 8 months, I think? It might be something like that.
Still feels like very early days, to be honest.
So the place where we are, this was a outdoor centre run by the Abernethy Trust for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then partly through COVID and other things, it was mothballed for 3 or 4 years. They were wondering what to do with it. And actually within their board of trustees, they'd had this vision of, you know, maybe this could be a place of Christian retreat, which is a new thing for them. That's not, you know, mainly they're about young people and outdoor activities.
Schools,
And, you know, that was something that was on Liz and I's heart. And, and also, as well as it becoming a Christian retreat centre, they have a vision for the kind of restoration of nature in this place,
uh-huh,
and nature bouncing back a bit, which is something close to my own heart. So, yeah, seemed to be a good fit.
And I suppose when you arrived, the building needed a lot of work, and you were to build a team as well.
Yeah, so the building is in pretty good shape, actually, but it was set up for school groups and things.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, we've been repurposing it, I guess, making a lot of changes, and some of the outbuildings particularly, we always wanted to have a chapel, a prayer space, where mm-hmm. we could kind of have a daily rhythm of prayer happening there. So we've been converting an old agricultural building for that purpose. And there's another part of that same studding that we're converting into an art room. So,
great.
Yeah, slowly, we're getting there.
And it's a gorgeous setting here. We're just appearing and we can see, this is where
Loch Linnhe comes
out.
Yeah.
And you look over to Island of Lismore, where St. Columba and St. Maluk had their race,
Yeah, that's right. So the story goes. So they were contemporaries and were both keen to have Lismore, apparently. And as they approached the beach, the deal was the first one that got there got to base themselves there. And Maluag supposedly chopped off his finger, threw it ahead onto the beach and said, mine. So Columba ended up on Iona, of course, and Maluag based himself here at Lismore.
Well, there you go. And there's obviously, you know, people are going to come here and they're going to be wowed by the setting. But what is the vision? What's in your heart for this place? And who have you got coming in to work with you? What sort of team are you building to enable that to happen?
Yeah. So at the foundations of it is the rhythm of prayer. And I said to you earlier, I picked up 5 rocks off the beach here when we first came to visit. I've got them in my pocket right now. And each one of them has come to represent to us some element of the vision for this place. And the first one, it's the only one that has an important place in the priority, if you like. It's definitely the number one. The other four can come in any order, but this is the number one. And it's a lovely piece of granite. And for us, that represents this foundation, this bedrock, which is a rhythm of prayer, that whether it's team members as we build the team, visitors as they come and go, there will be this daily rhythm of prayer. And we believe we're kind of restoring that. You know, it's not something new, but it's something that was here in ancient times, and we're stepping back into that.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned team, so we're growing a team. It'll always be a small team. I think at the moment we'll be 7 people next month. And within that team, we're all prepared to do everything.
Yeah.
But we will all have some particular skill. So, you know, somebody has got the oversight of the catering, somebody's got the oversight of the house, somebody's got the maintenance, somebody's got the environmental side. But we will all chip in with those things. One of the other things I picked up off the beach was this shell, which is very similar to the thing you see people wearing on the Camino. You know, it's a symbol of pilgrimage, isn't it? That kind of shell.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a cockle shell, like
yeah, or, something like that. Yeah,
white.
We believe that that God will bring people here as pilgrims, really, people who want to come and spend time with God and be away from their normal place. And I think one of the benefits of this location is as you discovered, you know, you either have a long drive around, or more usually you go across the ferry, the Corran ferry.
Yeah, it's just 5 minutes.
It literally takes 5 minutes. But that ferry, I think, is really important on the journey here. You know, people will leave sense of mainland behind. It feels like you're coming to an island here. It's not, obviously, it's a peninsula, but it feels a bit like that as you arrive over the ferry. So yeah, we're looking forward to welcoming visitors. We're already welcoming visitors, as you've discovered.
Mm-hmm, indeed.
One of the other rocks represents for us the idea of partnership. So we believe that everything we're doing here, we want to be doing in partnership with other people, and whether that's the local church, whether it's other organisations. So on the environmental side, we've entered into a partnership with Arosha and you know, a number of other different organisations we're working with. So it's not about us doing something here, but growing this kind of network and working together with other people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other 5 things that's in my pocket. Mm. It's not a stone at all. It's not a shell either.
It's a bird head, is it?
No, it's a tooth.
Oh, it's a tooth.
It's a tooth, and I think it may be a cow. It may be a deer.
Huh.
Both are here. Yeah, both are possible. But for us, that represents the nature of this place. So we're here. We want to see nature thrive here. But we also want to notice what's happening here in nature. And as a team, we're committed to that. So in the main house there, we have a notice board, but we also have a noticing board. So we put on that the things we're noticing. We want to kind of witness what's happening in creation here. And we want our visitors to be part of that. So we'll be encouraging people to engage with nature, to spend time in nature, to look for God's fingerprints in nature, but to see the processes and the grandeur, but also the tiny, intricate details and interrelationships and things.
Mm. And there's a fifth, is that?
Well, actually the fifth we've kind of touched on because it was about the team, yeah. So there's another rock here, and it's a rock that's got little holes in it. So when we arrived, we felt very lonely for a few months here. We've only quite recently been taking on new team members, and we've got a couple joined us over the last 3 weeks and a couple more coming in 2 weeks' time. But this is a rock that's got little holes in it, and we had this sense here, people will come here and they'll find they fit here. And the holes are all different shapes and sizes, you know, so we wanted to build a team that was diverse in terms of generation and background and experience of church and all of that. And I think, amazingly, I mean, God has brought people across our path. I'm delighted with the people who are joining the team here. You've met some of them.
I have. I've been at prayers with you. It's been lovely. Yeah. And getting to know them and knowing you've got a few more that are coming too. And what about capacity for accommodation and the sort of people that you're thinking about, you know, that seeing come, drawing in? Some people listening here will be thinking, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I think what we have here is something a little bit different to most of the retreat centres I've experienced, mm-hmm. in that it is a place of ruggedness. It's a kind of wild place. Mm-hmm. A lot of retreat centres have lovely gardens, and I've enjoyed spending many a day in those lovely gardens, so it's not a criticism at all, but this is not that.
No.
I mean, even where we're walking here, there isn't a footpath, isn't there?
The walls crumbled in parts.
Yeah, it's easy enough to walk, but it's not a manicured path, and we're looking out.
And in fact, the crumbled wall allows us to walk through onto the beach. Miraculous. Yes. Miraculous. Marvellous.
Our hope is that we're offering something a little bit different, but I really believe that God wants to bring some people here who maybe Christian retreat has never been their thing before. Mm-hmm. And that may be partly because we're part of the Abernethy Trust's network, and they tend to work with quite a young demographic. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see young people coming here and experiencing Christian retreat. Mm-hmm. Anybody is welcome, and we will offer kind of themed retreats. We'll offer retreats where you can come and receive some guidance, some direction, some coaching. Mm-hmm. And we'll offer opportunities for people to come and do their own thing, so they can come and use the chapel and the art room and pick up a map and head out into the countryside themselves, mm-hmm. and do their own thing. And that could be catered or it could be self-catered. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel privileged to have been able to do that and stay in your lodge, and looking forward to seeing around the house itself as well. What have you got in the house? What spaces do you have?
Yeah, so the capacity of the main house is up to 18, and that depends on the configuration of who's coming. You know, that would rely on some people sharing. So we've mm-hmm. got 8 rooms, but some of them big, some of them are smaller, some of them single, twin, more family-type rooms. And then we've got quite a generous dining space. We've got a lounge, we've got a small library, mm-hmm. drying facilities, all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Some nice places just to sit, little corners, inside and out. And then where you've been staying, Neil, the lodge, which is just in the grounds next door, is more, well, it could be used as an annex to the main house, mm-hmm. if we've got a larger number of people in, or it's really good for individual, couple, or 3 or 4 friends to base themselves there for a mm-hmm. Self-catered retreat.
Mm-hmm. You've been in touch with the church in Scotland and the Church Beyond Walls as well. You've written your books, Invisible Church, Rewilding the Church. How does this connect with that, with who you are and what you've been, and you know, this sense of calling to make a difference in these parts in Scotland?
Yeah. So I think when I was working as a mission development worker, fairly early on in that, you know, like 15, 16 years ago, I realised that certainly in the region I was working in, which was mainly the north at that time, there wasn't a habit of retreat going. Mm-hmm. Neither amongst church leaders nor congregations. And so I started a series of retreats each year, and we would have half a dozen retreats spread across the region. And my vision at that time was that wherever people lived across the Highlands and Islands, they would have an opportunity once a year to access a retreat that was reasonably near to them. Mm-hmm. We did that, and I worked with different people on that, and they were well appreciated, and certainly for some people they were important to them. Mm-hmm. Stuff happened on those retreats, mm-hmm. that made a difference, mm-hmm. that refreshed and envisioned and all of that. So, so I think during those years doing that job, yeah, I became convinced that this was important, and I guess that's partly led me here too. You know, I'd love to see more people. Mm-hmm. I was reading this morning or yesterday the bit in the Gospels where it says, you know, Jesus often mm-hmm. slipped away to lonely places to pray.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be here, it doesn't need to be wildness at all, but that habit, that rhythm of retreat is so important, I think, mm-hmm. because otherwise we're so easily caught up in a kind of unconsidered momentum. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we need to, I guess I'm convinced in terms of the church in Scotland, we need to learn to listen again.
Yeah.
We need to get into that rhythm of listening and acting out of that listening.
Yeah.
Being confident that this is what God's asked us to do rather than just doing what we've always done.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure you're right. The discipline of listening and retreat, which is an ancient practice, and certainly I've appreciated it and valued it and tried to build it into my year, failing sometimes, but when I do get away, even if it's up the road for a day, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And maybe finally, adventure is at your heart, and it's named on your sign as you come in. What does it say?
Living the adventure is the kind of slogan of the Abernethy Trust.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And you're an adventurous soul. How are you feeling about it all at the moment? I mean, you've stepped into this situation, this role by faith. It's a huge adventure. It could go belly up. It could go flop.
Yeah.
How are you? How's Steve and Liz feeling about this at the moment?
Well, that depends on the moment you ask us. Not even the day you ask us, but the moment you ask us.
Yes.
It is a bit of a roller coaster. And if I'm totally honest, there are times, I think pretty much every day, when we just feel a bit overwhelmed and think, Oh my goodness, what have we done? And especially now as we're building a team, we're thinking, and now we're getting other people involved in this. You feel the weight of responsibility of that.
Yeah.
But, having said that, we started at the beginning saying how I stepped away from my job and things.
Mm-hmm.
I can certainly say that we have been reignited, if you like, or certainly, mm-hmm. Our faith has been reinvigorated
mm-hmm.
through this process. Mm-hmm. And you're right; it could all not work out. But I don't think we'll regret it.
No,
one way or another. On a purely rational basis, there's so many reasons why this might not work. But mm-hmm. yeah, we've stepped out. We believe we're where we need to be. We're trying to be faithful, I guess.
Yeah.
And I know that's the story to people who've joined the team too. They haven't come here for a job. They've come here with a sense of calling.
Yes.
And they're very much part of the adventure themselves.
Yes.
Every one of them.
And I love how you're connecting with the local church as well. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, we really hope that we'll provide regular opportunity for local people, local Christians, to come away for the day, mm-hmm. not to need to go away residentially necessarily, and be a place where, people of different denominations, different traditions can come together
mm-hmm.
to pray and spend time together. And it's been lovely. We've had the opportunity to host some meetings of local church leaders here.
Mm-hmm.
But still very early days, but that's certainly on our heart that we would be a blessing to the local church somehow.
Mm. And if people are wanting to follow this up, if people are listening, tuning into this conversation, how will they find out more? How will they be able to connect and inquire?
Yeah, so if you go to the Abernethy Trust website,
uh-huh.
the three centres there, look for Kilmaloo, click on Kilmaloo, there's a information page there, it takes you through to inquiries.
Can you spell Kilmaloo?
K-I-L-M-A-L-I-E-U.
Yeah.
Kilmaloo.
Cool.
Yeah. And we've also, from the start, really, we set up a Facebook group to kind of invite people to journey with us, and we've been putting questions on there, you know, like when we were going to start putting together the art room, for example. We say, oh yeah, what would you like to see in an art room? What might that be like? And mm-hmm. what kind of retreats would you like to see happening here? And that's been really good kind of interaction with people like that. So if people want to join that, and you do Facebook, you can search for Kilmaloo on there.
Yeah.
And if you want to join that, you'd be welcome.
Cool. Well, you sent me a challenge today when I went out cycling to find a limerick. And you didn't know it was going to be about you guys, of course. But here it is. There was a couple, Liz and Steve, who caution and comfort did leave. Out of the stew came Kilmaloo, fresh faith adventures to receive. And the thing that you know, the receiving there at the end, I think, is really significant, because it's grace, isn't it? It's God's grace at work.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about what's happening here, and I feel really privileged to have been able to visit at these early days, and I'll be back for sure.
Excellent, yeah, very good.
And
no, it's been great to have you here.
It's been lovely. And yes, thanks for getting back into Emerging Emmaus, ever so briefly, but
yeah.
We value you so highly, Steve. Thank you. Thank you very much. Blessings, everybody. Thanks for tuning in and listening.
In your neighbourhood, trudge two dumped Jesus friends, drowning before dawning, moving through a maze of misery to an amazing Emmaus encounter. Emerging Emmaus.
Good grief, our dream is dead. Going home instead, comfort of my bed.
Good grief, the pain. Hope hard to sustain, love down the drain.
Good grief, where have you been? What we've seen, blown to smithereens.
Good grief, how our hearts burned, our minds turned, or all we learned.
Good grief, don't go away, come in to stay, you've shown the way.
Good grief, how he broke the bread with hands that bled, then disappeared.
Good grief, Jesus alive, no need to strive, chance to thrive, Jesus alive.
Good grief, no time to waste, now we have a taste, to Jerusalem with haste.
Emerging Emmaus, a well-kent lament echoes through the years. How long, good as is the grieving process, may it be a means to access visions and dreams of Christ's kingdom come. Emmaus, emerge from the gloom, come, Holy Spirit, come.
So for future podcasts, join us via the Sanctuary First website, Facebook page and app, and also via Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Come on, tune in.